Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Tuesday, Mid-Michigan. It is a new month, May 1st, 2018. Don't forget to pay the rent. We are so glad you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again here on the campus of Michigan State University inside of Studio S on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. That's right. Thank you, Chayo. I am Al Martin, your host, and I'll be your captain throughout these next 60 minutes. On today's current sports, we've got a lot to get to, a show that will be filled with a lot of discussion. We will discuss the NFL deciding not to eliminate kickoffs for the 2018 season. Kind of saw that coming, right? Many felt as though a move to eliminate kickoffs would be pretty drastic and would completely change the game in many ways. I will comb through that discussion and we will put an emphasis on why a change does need to happen due to player safety, without a doubt. But we'll kick around a few ideas as to what kind of change the NFL should be adopting. Also, Eastern Michigan University still plans to cut four varsity sports due to, of course, trying to get out of the red and just kind of chip away at that ridiculous budget deficit that they are currently in. EMU sticking to its guns despite many players of those four particular sports, as well as a few members of the student body, not happy with what EMU is doing, and many saying, look, if you're going to cut anything, why don't you cut the college football program? So we'll briefly update you on that story, and you'll get our thoughts and takes on that. Also, Darius Bazley. That's a name that you should know and get pretty familiar with if you are a college basketball fan, because what Bazley intends on doing, again, he's a high school player who is deciding to go another route in order to accomplish his NBA dreams. If he's successful, this could be a game changer as it pertains to high school basketball players trying to make that leap and deciding to take another route other than playing collegiate basketball. He wrote a very compelling article that was published by the Players Tribune. We'll bring that piece to you and you'll get our thoughts on that as well. And then on the back end of the show, the NCAA has modified the transfer rule. And many believe they have modified this transfer rule due to the pressure that they were receiving when it comes to Shea Patterson, the Ole Miss transfer, who is now with the University of Michigan college football team. And, you know, he's basically saying, Shea Patterson basically saying that there was some wrongdoing and it's not fair to me looking at how things have gone down at Ole Miss that I shouldn't be able to play immediately when deciding to leave the program due to these circumstances. So the NCAA has actually modified the transfer rule, and it's to the surprise of many. We'll bring to you how they have modified that transfer rule, and you'll also get my take on that as well. So we'll try and touch all four of those topics while, of course, allowing you to do the same. Multiple ways in which you can be a part of our airwaves. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream right there. You can comment below that video, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. So much to get to. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. With that Eastern Michigan University story, despite mounting pressure from the sports community and its supporters, Eastern Michigan remains steadfast in its decision to eliminate four sports in order to save $2.4 million and combat the university's steep budget shortfalls. Now, support to save softball, men's swimming and diving, women's tennis, and wrestling has steadily grown since EMU announced on March 20th that it would cut the sports. Organizers held two protests on the Ypsilanti campus last month that drew hundreds of supporters. At a Board of Regents meeting on April 20th, retired Washtenaw County judge and former EMU regent Don Shelton addressed the board for nearly 20 minutes and implored regents to reconsider cutting the sports. Shelton was a scholarship wrestler at Western Michigan and has endowed a wrestling scholarship at EMU. He said if EMU went ahead with its decision, the school would face lawsuits for violating the Open Meetings Act and from a Title IX complaint by female athletes. Before Shelton ended his speech and was met with thunderous applause from supporters from the audience, he warned the regents not to underestimate the determination of the sports community. He also asked the board to appoint a committee to redo the process of determining the reason for cutting the sports. But EMU sticking to his gun, saying these four sports, again, we're talking about softball, men's swimming and diving, women's tennis, and wrestling. Those are the sports that EMU plans on cutting. We'll revisit that story in just a minute. A recent change to the NCAA rules on student-athlete transfers appears to have helped pave the way for Shea Patterson to play at Michigan. According to a report published by the NCAA from its Division I Council and Standing Committee meetings, a modification was made April 16th through the 18th to the Division I four-year college transfers directive that allows, quote, under limited circumstances, end quote, players to use the one-time transfer exception if they satisfy four key exceptions. And again, that first one is the transfer is due to documented mitigating circumstances that are outside the student athlete's control and directly impact the health, safety, and well-being of the student athlete. That is the modification that has been added to the exceptions, this being moved to the top of the list, which is what a lot of people believe. This has led now Shea Patterson to be ruled eligible to play immediately under the leadership of Jim Harbaugh. We'll revisit that story in just a moment. All right, standing next to his son with thousands of grave sites representing fallen American World War II soldiers behind him, tears began to slip down Jack Harbaugh's face. This is a very cool moment. Don't know if you guys have been following the international trip that the Michigan Wolverines have been taking out in France. But again, that moment was shared by Jack's son, of course, the head coach of the University of Michigan football team, Jim, and included the Michigan football team as the Wolverines toured the Normandy region of France on Sunday. The trip began with a stop at the Memorial de Caen Museum before a quick visit overlooking the remains of Mulberry Harbor, a temporary port for Allied powers shortly after D-Day on June 6, 1944. ESPN has been out there since this trip, and I tell you what, they've been producing some very cool features, kind of like what they did last year when the University of Michigan football team made that trip to Rome. But you know, I got to give Jim Harbaugh credit. You know, a lot of you may be sitting back saying, oh, here is Jim Harbaugh just trying to gain attention
and put the spotlight back on his program? Would you win a game, Jim Harbaugh? But at the same time, you know, when you take a trip like this, and you can probably attest to this as well, Engineer Ian Hawley, when you take a trip like this as a student, because these are student athletes, it really is enlightening, and it really broadens your horizons and really makes you appreciate where you are in this great country called the United States of America. Am I right? Because you went to Australia, right?
Yes, sir. One memory that sticks out of my mind in relation to this, there was a famous graveyard in Sydney that was along a famous walking trail. And there's normally a kind of like a walkway around the side, but they were doing repairs to it since it was just a deck on the side of the hill. And so I had to walk through the graveyard. And it was at dusk, so it was pretty spooky, honestly. But it was also it made me stop and just kind of take a moment and look around and be thankful for where I was and the opportunities I had been given.
Without a doubt. And again, you know, Isaac Constance, he's also going to Australia. And that's one thing I regret. If there's one thing I regret when it comes to my 4-year college career here at Michigan State, I would have loved to take a study abroad. Because I tell you what, I've been to Jamaica. I went to Jamaica last year, went to the Dominican Republic the year before that. It just opens your eyes, man. It really does. So props to Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan football program. I think this is a really, really cool story. All right, one of the league's top pass defenders remains intact for the short term. The Minnesota Vikings exercised the 5th-year option on cornerback and former Michigan State football great Trey Waynes. The team announced that earlier this week. The 6-foot, 190-pound Waynes, who was set to enter the final year of his rookie contract, he joined Minnesota as a first-round pick, 11th overall, out of MSU in 2015. Waynes will make a tad over $9 million in 2019 with the option. His base salary in 2018 is $2.2 million. So congrats to Trey. The Detroit Tigers lost 3-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays at Comerica Park last night. Shane Green gave up a leadoff walk to Denard Spand in a 2-run home run to C.J. Cron in the 9th inning. Green also allowed a solo homer to Brad Miller. The Tigers had the bases loaded with one out in the bottom of the 9th. Jose Alvarado, I butchered that name, Alvarado, replaced Chad Rowe and gave up a 2-run single to Tigers designated hitter Victor Martinez. Well, with runners on first and second, James McCann flied out to left. Alvarado then gave up a walk to John Hicks to load the bases. Dixon Machado grounded into a force to the shortstop to end the game. The loss wasted just completely throughout the window. The best start of the season for righty Jordan Zimmerman, who allowed 2 hits over 7 scoreless innings. Great work by Jay Zim, but yeah, that bullpen, it's been a bugaboo. And it has been for years and years and years. But what we're seeing, especially in these last 2 weeks, the bullpen just is not getting the job done. But he allowed 1 walk, struck out 5, and it's still a loss. So, all right. Hey, Detroit Red Wings prospect's temper will cost him. The Ontario Hockey League has suspended Giovanni Smith 2 games for an inappropriate gesture after Smith's Kitchener Rangers defeated Sault Ste. Marie 4-3 in overtime on Sunday. Smith gave he basically flipped the bird, threw up the middle finger to the Greyhounds bench. Can't do that. That's a no-no. The OHL announced a suspension yesterday afternoon, hours before the evening's Game 7 between the teams. The Detroit Lions are having a little fun with the Green Bay Packers, selecting a punter in the 5th round of the NFL draft. The Packers drafted punter J.K. Scott with the 172nd pick. No punters were selected in last year's draft, and Scott was the 2nd taken this year. The Lions made fun of the pick on Twitter, saying the team, quote, is planning on seeing him on the field a lot this season, end quote. I love that. I like that little subtle jab, right? And last but not least, a quick update when it comes to the NBA and NHL playoffs. Last night, we saw the Boston Celtics just absolutely put on a whooping when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers. This game taking place out in Boston, it was a 16-point win for the Boston Celtics, 117-101, the final of that Game 1 in the Eastern Conference semis. But again, just Game 1. We'll see what happens as this series moves along. I'm still sticking with my pick of having the Philadelphia 76ers participate in the NBA Finals. That's my pick to come out the East. Game 1, impressive Game 1, though, by the Celtics. I must admit that. All right. Tonight, you can catch game one between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors. That game will take place at 8 p.m. Also, one game two, tonight. That will be the New Orleans Pelicans taking on the Golden State Warriors. Golden State leads that series 1-0. Game two between the Houston Rockets and the Utah Jazz will take place tomorrow at 8 p.m. When it comes to the NHL playoffs, we saw yesterday the Boston Bruins fall to the Tampa Bay Lightning, 4-2 the final. That series is now tied 1-1. Also, this one went to overtime last night. The Vegas Golden Knights pull out the win over the San Jose Sharks 4-3. The Golden Knights still lead that series, though. Well, they lead the series now with the win 2-1. Today, you can catch the Washington Capitals taking on the Penguins. Tonight at 7:30 p.m., that series is tied. This will be game three. That series is tied 1-1. And also tonight, you can catch the Predators and the Jets. Puck drop is scheduled for 8 p.m. And that win, that series is also tied 1-1. So this will be game three. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can join the show and let your voice be heard. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
In both kickoff returns and punt returns. And the Colts have had a hard time all season covering kicks. It's Hester trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
Oh, look at this. This is Dan Connolly. The right guard. The right guard. Still going to the 4-yard line.
Treats. Drop six. And one man. Still on his feet. He's loose. Julian Edelman. Will they catch him?
Happy Tuesday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. It is another beautiful day here in mid-Michigan. We're going to get up to 80 degrees today. You know what? I want to start off by kicking some Avengers theme on you, Ian. You know what? I kid you not. Yesterday after current sports, I think Ian, myself, along with Jamie Paisley, our classical musical host, he's also a big, you know, superhero guy. He's a big Star Wars guy as well. We geeked out, man, for about, I want to say about 20 minutes talking about Avengers, Infinity War. If you haven't seen it, just go after Current Sports. I was about to say get up and go right now. After Current Sports, go after 2 o'clock, all right? Enjoy some of the weather, all right? That'll be a, you know, I think on Tuesdays you usually have deals at theaters as well. You can go see a movie for like $5.
Yeah,
right?
I think today's $5 movie day at NCG.
There you go. Easy, right?
Oh,
check
yeah.
it out. I mean, I still believe it's the – I got to go see it again. It was that good. I would say it's the best Avengers film that they've made. And I believe it's been, what, 10 years since the first one, right? Wasn't Iron Man the first one back in 08? I believe Iron Man was the one that really put Marvel on the map. I believe.
Yeah, Iron Man was the first, like, big Marvel movie from this time.
When it comes
I think
to
they
this
had the
series.
Hulk before that.
Right.
But that one really didn't take off like Iron Man did.
No, Iron Man in 08 really is what put this Marvel series on the map. But yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So I intertwine that with, of course, some of the greatest kickoffs of all time, because that's where we will start today on today's Current Sports. It's interesting. It really is interesting when you look at the NFL even kicking around the idea of eliminating kickoffs for the 2018 year. Now, again, the NFL has come out and said that they won't eliminate kickoffs for the 2018 season. That's what 2018 season. League Executive Vice President Troy Vincent made that known today at the start of a 2-day player safety summit. And instead, Vincent noted that the league hopes to make substantive adjustments to align when it comes to alignment information requirements, hoping of possibly eliminating those big collisions that you see when it comes to kickoffs. Because let's be real, I mean, when it comes to kickoffs, it may be the most exciting play in all of football. I mean, there's nothing like watching, you know, especially depending on what the score is, depending on what moment you are in the game. But it could be, you know, the middle of the game in a blowout. A kickoff is still so exciting to watch. You know, you see the ball sail high in the air, and then you see the kick returner catch it and then go all the way. It's always fun to watch. And then I even included a big man taking it to almost the house at the 4-yard line during a New England Patriots game. That's always fun to watch, too, when it comes to squib kicks that happen throughout an NFL game or a football game, period, right? But, you know, it's one of the most exciting plays, arguably the most exciting play in all of football, but also the most dangerous play in all of football. And we all know here in 2018 how big of a spotlight is on football in general, not even just the NFL here, even though the NFL is the realm of football that we point the finger at and say changes need to be made because it's the professional realm and the NFL rules all things football. College football not far behind, and we all know college football right now when it comes to its popularity, it's pretty high up there. But nothing touches the NFL. I don't care what sport you're talking about here in America. But, you know, you talk about these fast-paced collisions that happen on kickoffs. CTE, you've heard that before multiple times. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That is becoming an area that is making a lot of folks nervous. In the NFL, it's making a lot of players nervous who have played the game for a long time, and we're learning this new information when it comes to concussions and CTE and how CTE could affect youth sports. When it comes to youth sports participation in the game of football, there are a lot of parents who are very nervous about, okay, if I do let my son play youth football, you know, what can those collisions do to my son's brain as he grows up? And you've seen a lot of folks adopt a heads up program where they're trying to teach kids at a young age how to tackle safely without endangering the brain, without endangering the head. There's a lot of changes happening here. And I've personally spoken to a lot of parents who have said, no, I'm not allowing my son to play the game of football. I'm just not. Even though there are a lot of benefits when it comes to the sport. You know, it's teamwork, you know, learning to play with a team. I mean, and then the thought process that goes along with the game of football and trying to dissect plays, that all helps when it comes to the development of a young man. But I will say this, though, you know, if one day I'm blessed, Ian, to have a son, a little Al out there, I would have I've always said this. I would have a serious conversation if he came to me and said, hey, Dad, I want to play the game. You know, and what you're starting to see across the board, you know, here in our great nation, a lot of youth leagues are not allowing tackle football to go down anymore until kids hit probably like the middle school level. So it's very scary. I mean, when you look at CTE and what has happened to many players after they have died and they've dedicated their brain to science and allow, you know, doctors out there to see if they were in fact, you know, going through, you know, the symptoms of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, if they in fact had that disease while they were living. I mean, Junior Seau comes to mind immediately. You know, he committed suicide, took a shotgun to his chest and said that, yeah, I want my brain to be looked at and examined. And next thing you know, it comes out that, yeah, he did have CTE. I mean, that's a scary thing. And you see these players who have played the game after they retire, they go into depression. They have unpredictable mood swings that causes strain on their families. And they have thoughts of suicide left and right. That is a serious thing here. So I understand. I mean, NFL, I get it. It's an exciting play. It really is. I mean, I love watching a kick returner take it to the house. You know, onside kicks even. There's been a lot of research done on onside kicks, even though that's shortening the field, right? Right. You would think that when it comes to onside kicks, collisions wouldn't be a huge problem, but they are. You know, studies have been done, and they certainly are. You know, kickoffs, when you got two colliding forces coming at each other on opposite sides of the field, that is a very dangerous thing. So much so that I even think the teams are modifying the way they handle kick returns now to ensure the safety of their players. NFL data showed that concussions were 5 times more likely to occur on kickoffs in 2017. 5 times more likely to occur on kickoffs in 2017 than any other play. That speaks volumes. Also, according to ESPN, a statistical outlier, even after years of rule changes designed to reduce returns in 2017, only 40% of kickoffs were returned. Only 40%. That's less than half, Ian, which tells me that I feel like players are also, because I'll also say this, I heard Mike Golic say this morning on his radio show on ESPN. You know, Golic and Wingo, the new Golic and Wingo show on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic made a point that I thought was really interesting that I have not pondered as well. The game of football, he said, is more safer today than it has been ever because of this very thing. Because there is an emphasis on CTE and the knowledge of CTE and players basically saying, man, I don't want that. I need to change the way that I'm approaching the game. I need to change the way I'm playing the game because I am not trying to be one of those players who ends up losing his mind, who has these symptoms that causes strain on my family. I'm not trying to be one of those guys. I'm not. So I need to change what I'm doing out there on the football field. So in that conversation, the game is changing for the better, and I believe safety is being put first now. But at the same time, the game of football just inherently is a violent sport. And I think it's almost impossible to avoid concussions. It really is. I mean, you got these grown men out there who are, you know, just looking at how the game of football is, it's a collision sport. It's going to be impossible to take out concussions in a collision sport because that is the nature of the beast. That is the nature of the game, especially when it comes to linemen. I immediately think of linemen as well because a lineman, every single play is colliding. That is a lineman's job, to collide with another player and either block that opposing player or burrow through or try to burrow through that opposing player to try and get to the quarterback, depending on if you play on the defensive line or the offensive line. That is a scary thing, and you're seeing, you know, the numbers of CTE in former players really skyrocket when it comes to the lineman position. That is a scary thing. It really is. The article goes on to say on ESPN.com, on the other hand, the kickoff is in danger of becoming a ceremonial play. As Green Bay Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy said in March, the play is still too dangerous despite its reduction in frequency. Again, I note 40% of kickoffs, only 40% of kickoffs were returned in 2017. It goes on to read, Murphy, a member of the competition committee, said the kickoff would be eliminated if it could not be made safer. Then it goes on to read here, Ian, the ensuing public discussion has incentivized advocates to forward a number of suggestions for safer alternatives. Details will be discussed on Wednesday when a group of special teams coaches and players arrive at the league offices. But the likeliest scenario is shifting the alignment to something that resembles a punt, requiring more one-on-one blocking with less contact preceded by running starts. Now, by the end of Wednesday, the league hopes to have a consensus to allow the competition committee to write a new kickoff rule. Owners would then vote on the proposal at their May 21st to 23rd spring meeting. That meeting will take place in Atlanta, Georgia. So if any changes are going to be made here, Ian, it looks like we won't see the same formations that we currently see in the NFL. It will resemble more like a punt. Every kickoff will basically look like a punt, basically, where you have this immediate contact at the line and you have, you know, a few players back to field that kickoff and then momentum going forward from there. And at the same time, I've also pondered this. I pondered this on the drive in. I mean, if you were to eliminate the kickoff fully, and again, I don't know if changing the alignment in the formation into a punt formation, I don't know how much that's going to help the whole discussion, the whole concussion discussion, I should say. However, if you were to completely eliminate, you know, the kickoff, let's say it is a tight game, right? And a team is down. And they need, they at their disposal, that onside kick to possibly regain possession. What would you replace that with? I really don't know. I don't know how you replace the kickoff when it comes to the overall structure of the game. Because if you got a team that's down, you know, with under a minute left, and they just score, and all of a sudden they're maybe down by one score, a touchdown or a field goal, and they need to get that ball back, and they can't onside kick, what do you replace to give the offense a chance to regain possession? I don't know. Do you make it like the XFL? Remember the XFL, Vince McMahon, who's the commissioner of now the WWE? At the time, it was the WWF. There's been a 30-for-30 made of the XFL. You know, they replaced the kickoff with, you know, placing the football at midfield at the 50 and just having both teams on opposite end zones run at each other to try and get the football. Whoever ended up with the football, boom.
That's like possession. A dodgeball mad dash at the beginning?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, the thing with that is, I mean, you're not having these collisions, these like warrior collisions happen, you know, when it comes to a kickoff where you know, you have a kickoff, then you have, you know, some blockers downfield. And at the time of contact with those two players, I mean, it's dangerous. It really is. It really is dangerous. You know, with the XFL model, you know, you at least have these players just going after the football. But you better believe there's going to be some head-on collisions there. You got two opposing forces here going after, you know, the pigskin at midfield. That's also dangerous to a degree as well. I don't know. I don't have the answer.
They could line it up like a rugby scrum, and that way, at least, like you say, if the team is down, they'd have a chance to get the ball back if they make the push.
And I don't even know how that will work. So how does rugby do it? I mean, you put the football in the middle and have just both teams just kind of. I know the formation you're talking about. Mm-hmm. How would that work, though? You put them both at midfield?
So from what I understand, I tried to learn from some native Australians, and I actually went to a rugby game and sat through it and watched it and still couldn't figure it out. I Googled the rules and still didn't really know what they were talking about. So it's apparently it's meant to be confusing. But they basically put like five players from each team, and they all lock arms around each other, and then they put their heads together, and you have to just push the other team off the ball until the ball is behind your own feet, and then the players behind you can pick the ball up and start passing it. Uh-huh. So I don't think they should have it be live after that, because that would be kind of hard to set up a play with, you know? But if you do the push and you get the ball, then you just win possession.
Well, I tell you what, I would be curious because the thing about rugby, you know, you have no equipment on. It's just basically you out there with a jersey and shorts and some cleats, right?
Yeah, what's the CTE level like in rugby?
Thank you. That was where I was going with this. I wonder what the concussion statistics look like in the world of rugby.
Well, they don't launch themselves at each other like professional football players do because they don't have the helmets, you know?
Right.
I think they realize, hey, I got nothing on my head. I got to be a little bit more careful.
Exactly. I think you can make that argument, Ian, where, you know, with rugby players out there having no equipment whatsoever, they're more conscious of their safety because they're out there putting themselves at risk with no protection. I mean, yeah, if I'm out there with no protection on, I'm making sure that I'm on my P's and Q's when it comes to my health. So it's an interesting discussion, man. And, you know, also the other layer to this, I've heard a lot of former players weigh in on this. Most notably for me, I listened to Shannon Sharpe, and I never watched his show, but Undisputed on Fox Sports with Skip Bayless. And Shannon Sharpe, right? And Shannon Sharpe, you know, he weighed in on this yesterday, and he basically said, look, man, Skip, if I didn't have the kickoff, and if I'm not playing on special teams, I'm not sitting here talking to you. I don't have a career because I made my bread and butter on special teams. You know, I was present on punt returns. I was present on kick returns. I was present, you know, on field goals. I made my living on special teams. So if you take away that, then, you know, a lot of other players are going to have to look at other areas of the football field to make an impact on. And that's also another discussion. But at the end of the day, I don't care about careers here. I care about the health of those careers. When it comes to, you know, what you do best on a football field, that pales in comparison to the overall health of every player who suits up and walks out there on the gridiron. But it's an interesting discussion. What do you think? You know, are you in favor of possibly eliminating the kickoff come next NFL season, not the 2018 campaign? They're probably going to modify formations. That's what's going to be talked about at least this week, and then possibly voted on, come later on this month, May 21st to the 23rd, out in Atlanta. But what's your take on this whole kickoff discussion? Should it be eliminated? And if so, what would the alternative be? Because I honestly don't have the answer right now. I'm a bit confused. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I think a lot of people are confused with this discussion, to be honest. Also, you can weigh in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to dive into a really intriguing story as it pertains a high school player who is deciding to skip college and take an alternative route in chasing his NBA dreams. His name is Darius Bazley. I'll comb through that piece from the Players Tribune and have so much more coming your way as well. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We are now rolling into segment B. Just wrapped up segment A, discussing the NFL not considering eliminating the kickoff for at least the 2018 season. However, again, they are meeting this week to discuss, you know, safety in the NFL. And there could be a possible adjustment to how both teams line up kickoffs to try and make the game safer. It's been rumored that maybe, you know, you go to a punt formation on every kickoff in the NFL. Trying to reduce safety, increase safety and reduce head-on collisions, I should say. That is becoming a very compelling conversation that needs to be had when it comes to the National Football League, because we all know what long-term health looks like for some of these players who have played the game, have not put safety first, who have constantly, you know, play down after down with head-on collisions and countless concussions. And many believe they are living with CTE. Now, I still believe at this point here in 2018, you can't really tell if a player, there are symptoms, but you can't really tell if a player or human being has chronic traumatic encephalopathy until after they have sadly passed away, because that's when you can cut open the brain and then really dissect it. That's when scientists can really dissect it to see if you do have those markings on the brain. But it's a scary thing. And a lot of players believe that they are living with CTE. They experience the mood changes, the thoughts of suicide and depression, the mood swings, right? So I also ask, if you do eliminate the kickoff, what do you do to replace it when it comes to the onside kick and the offense having a chance to possess the ball again? There are a lot of things to really dissect here, and I feel like we've got a long way to go when it comes to coming to the conclusion of a foolproof method to increase safety, but also keep the game interesting and give the offense a chance if they have just scored and it's a close game. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got my man Austin from KZU that wants to weigh in. Austin, always good chatting with you, man.
You as well. How you doing today, Al?
I'm doing good. Happy Tuesday, brother.
You as well, man. I was having a good day until Ian just told me he's graduating, so that means my heart has to get broken by current sports yet again. Got to replace him. So.
Yeah, well, he'll be here at least until the end of August.
Yes, sir.
So okay. he'll be here through the summer as well, and then we got to go back to the drawing board. So
okay, all right, cool. Well, if you need somebody, I'll come intern for you.
Okay, there we go. We got to make that
take
happen.
My job already.
Austin,
hey, already, man.
Austin has been ready to take the engineering job for a long time. He was plotting on Isaac when Isaac was behind the glass. I believe even Alex Sharg before that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it goes back to day one, man. You still need me to come record a post game coverage for you at a football game. So
right, I got you. I'm a man of my word. We still got to make that happen, Austin. All right.
All right. Cool. But yeah, man. So about the kickoff. I don't have a solution. Maybe like the guys, you know, for the kickoff and punt returns and onside kicks, they like plug up the PlayStation and play Madden or something to do it that way. But I think if you eliminate it, there should be some kind of guaranteed contract for guys like Shannon Sharp said that make their bread and butter on special teams. I mean, you look at guys like Davis, Ed Davis for the Broncos. That's how he got his shine. And then you look at Don Carey when he played with the Lions. He was a special teams player of the year. So if you eliminate that, you're lowering the chances of a lot of guys getting contracts. And so for those guys that are on special teams and make their money that way, I think there should be some kind of protection in place for them so they do have that option to still be able to make money and everything.
Yeah, and you can even mention in this conversation as well, you know, Devin Hester, you know, he also comes to mind when he used to, you know, thrill everybody when he played as a kick returner for the Chicago Bears back in the day. But also, Austin, you know, this is the thing. You know, when you look at kickoffs, and I want to read just two comments here coming from our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And I think this is the kind of mindset that we have to really abolish and eradicate. Yeah. When it comes to the game of football, because Ben says, and again, you hear this a lot when having the same conversation, it's appealing, right? Ben says, I like watching guys get drilled as they attempt to run up the field for a touchdown. I don't like watching guys get hurt, but watching guys get hit hard is a thrill. And that's the kind of mentality that a lot of people have, Austin. It is, right. It's fun, you know, to watch a big hit in the NFL. However, the human side of you has to say, at the same time, that's really dangerous. Yeah. And now we're learning more and more about the health and safety of football players when it comes to how concussions can really hurt the brain. We've got to start changing that mindset, I think.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, you look at the play that hurt Ryan Shazier, and it was difficult emotionally difficult to watch him walk across the stage to announce the Steelers pick, man.
Yeah.
And whatever we can do to eliminate those things from happening is safe. But I definitely think Roger Goodell and his team need to come up with a good contingency plan to keep it exciting.
Do you think eliminating the kickoff is still going to stop you from watching every Sunday? No, right?
No, not at all.
It's the NFL. It's the National Football League. There are still plenty of moments throughout the entire football game to get. And again, only 40% of kickoffs were returned last year. So we're starting to see that play, you know, less than half of the time that play is even returned for any kind of yardage. So the game is changing.
They moved the kickoff point up, so now you're getting a lot of touchbacks in the NFL. A lot of kickers just kicking it out right out of the end zone.
Right, exactly. Very true. All right.
Last point before I go. Ian, get ready for MSU Green Line to start calling you to donate, man.
Oh, I'm ready, man. I've gotten multiple calls and multiple letters from multiple MSU organizations already, so I'm very familiar with their requests.
Yeah, the alumni base comes at your heart.
There you go. Hey, proud of you, Ian. You guys have a good day.
All right, thank you.
You too,
man. Always good talking with you, Austin. All right, let's go to line two right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to chime in. Mike, what's up, my man?
What's up, man? Before I comment on something, you know when you say my best friend Ray, if you ever heard of Jim Croce's record operator, that's what he says on that.
What is that, Mike?
When Ray calling, you said, this is my best friend Ray calling. I don't know if you heard of Jim Croce, but that's the song. He always say that line on that song. So
oh, we may have to get that. So every time Ray comes on, we may have to play that snippet from that song, you know?
Yeah, play that snippet and see what happens.
I'll do some Googling, Mike. All right, what's on your mind, though? What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the Romeo Langford, then I'm going to talk about the football, man. You know why I'm talking about Romeo Langford is because he's going to Indiana. Now, was he one of the top recruits that's in the nation this year?
Yeah, he's a top five prospect, actually. I was reading up on him, earlier this week. He's the nation's top unsigned senior. He actually, you know, decided to stay in his home state for college, and he actually committed to Indiana on Monday night.
Yeah. Was you surprised that Archie Miller could, the Indiana kids, because usually Indiana kids went to Michigan State, they went to other schools. Now, you know, is that a big coup for Indiana?
That's a huge get for Indiana without a doubt. But again, you just never know. That's why, you know, I hate recruiting, Mike. So you just never know what goes to the head of a young man. Obviously, Romeo, I guess he wanted to stay home. Wanted to stay home, play in front of his hometown, his fans, his family's there. So I get it. You know, and he chose Indiana over some pretty big names like Kansas. Also, Vanderbilt was after him as well. He's a fun player to watch, and I'm excited to see him when he gets to college.
All right, man. I'm going to talk to you about the kickoff, man. It's too bad that the NFL's in the quandary. I'm always thinking about when you brought that topic up, I thought about how lacrosse would do it and soccer would do it. It's just too bad that the NFL can find a way to take care of that. You know, I don't know if you ever watched a lacrosse match or a field hockey game where they face off, you know, with the sticks and they hit the ball back and forth. And it's just something about the football. I'm just in a quandary too about that. I really am, you know.
Because we love the play, and again, we love the big, you know, kick return. Because again, it's in my opinion is the most exciting play in the world of football. But again, if it's going to come at the expense of the overall health of these players, something's got to give. I don't care how exciting it is. I don't care how exciting it is, Mike.
You know, but like I say, what about high school?
That's got to change as well.
Middle school, too, that's the way it needs to start, man. In middle school,
that's where it has to start.
Too.
That's a very good point, Mike. If it's going to start anywhere, it's got to start at the youth level because that's when the brain is most sensitive, right? That's when that cranium is still being developed. So I definitely agree with you, Mike. All right.
You know, the one thing about football is that football, I like to see them have the straight-ahead kickers back than the sidewinding kickers, but that's just me.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. It's going to be just keep your eyes close to what happened this month when it comes to this week. If there's any changes or proposals that comes out of the meetings this week from the NFL execs and players when it comes to changes of the kickoff. And later on this month, again, May 21st or 23rd is when they will vote on those said proposals. So we'll see if any modifications are made. Mike, we'll see.
All right, man. Here's just one more. I just think about Josh Allen tweets.
Yeah.
If you ever get famous, don't have no friends that tweet on you like that, okay, man?
No. That's why you got to be smart on social media. Don't put nothing stupid out. I hear you, Mike. My man.
All right,
Mike, we got to keep it pushing. Let's go to line one right now. Dave from Wyoming wants to weigh in on the kickoff discussion. Dave, what's up, my friend?
Well, part of it, Al, is it's player safety. And from the owner's standpoint, it all comes down to money. Negotiations, player salaries keep on going. They cannot afford the injuries. And now you're seeing players, too. I mean, younger and younger players playing a few years and throwing in the towel for various injuries, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm old enough to remember the first time I visited relatives in Detroit. We turned on Windsor TV, and I saw guys playing hockey without helmets.
Oh, wow. Talk about dangerous.
Helmets were going to ruin the game of hockey at one time, right?
Yeah.
Goalies didn't even wear masks at one time. That was going to ruin. So, I mean, they make a lot of changes for player safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if I was going to make a rule, I would say if you kick the ball out of bounds, 35. If you kick the ball and it's caught between the 10, if it bounces before it gets into the end zone, you're going to get the ball in the 25 or the 30.
Mm-hmm.
If you kick the ball and it's caught in the end zone or goes out of the end zone, you don't get any extra points for going through the goalpost. But you start off at the 20. Therefore, you're rewarding the team that's got a guy who can kick the ball a distance. But you're also taking some pretty high collision game, high collision events out of every game.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL's got to, they can sit around with their head in the mud, or they're going to have to make some changes. And I said, to me, maybe it's just me being a cynic, but to me, the biggest thing is they got money invested. And they are going to run out of players, or they are going to get lawsuits, there are states like in Michigan and other places that unless they change state laws, you still get workman's comp if you blow your knee out on a football field and you're playing for the Detroit Lions,
mm-hmm.
and it happens in Detroit. So I think it's anything they can do to take out some of this stuff is probably a good idea on my end. It's not going to be the good old days, but I'll give you one other example of hockey, which was more of a playing rule. At one time, when you got a penalty with the original six, you got a 2-minute penalty. You played through that whole 2-minute penalty, a man down.
Mm-hmm.
Except the Montreal Canadiens got too good, so they changed the rules. So you got five guys back on the ice after the team with five guys scored against your four guys. And then we saw the Gretzky rule when they'd get four down, and they want to play 4-on-3. Well, now nobody plays less than 4-on-4. So, the games change, like it or don't. And I think this is one of those pivotal moments where we're going to see the game change for the safety of the players. Thanks.
All right. Great takes and a few great points there. And the thing is, anytime you talk about changing something like this, this is a pretty big part of the game of football, right? I mean, we've been watching kickoffs, for a long, long time. You are going to have the football traditionalist out there that says, what? The game has been like this for years. Don't tamper with it. It kind of reminds me of the whole replay discussion in the world of baseball. When we saw replay introduced in the world of baseball, you had these traditionalists say, oh my goodness, this is gonna, and I do think some modifications still need to happen when it comes to that whole replay situation, because it just, a baseball game is already way too long, and then these replays sometimes just stretch the game. It's ridiculous sometimes, but however, I think it's a good thing to get the call right. If you've got the technology there, get the call right. But you're gonna have some backlash from the traditionalist sports fan out there that does not like change. Simple as that. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to safety, something has to change. And also, when it comes to fan safety, I want to also throw this story out there. The whole netting conversation in the world of baseball. There was this great piece done by HBO's Real Sports where they profiled the netting in Japan. And, Japan had adopted, extending the netting, down the foul line. They had done this like years and years ago. In baseball, just recently, I believe like last season, they decided to extend it you know, at least down to the first and third baseline to protect fans. But that change didn't happen until, remember that young girl last year who took a foul ball, she was about 4 years old, to the face and had to have these surgeries, almost killed her. It took that to happen to modify and think about fan safety in the world of baseball, to modify and make a change within the game. So it shouldn't come to a dire situation for you to say, all right, something's got to give here. Something's got to give here. Until you start putting your fans and players first and looking at their health first. A change has to happen, Ian. I'm just curious to see what that change is going to be, because, again, I don't know what you're going to replace kickoffs with.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see what the NFL ends up doing, but you don't want it to come to that kind of situation where people are just now pointing the finger and saying, oh, we had the opportunity to change this rule and we didn't.
Yeah.
Because that would be even worse for the NFL. But I think they'll have to sit down and say, all right, do we care about the traditions of the game or do we care about our player safety? And I think if you're a fan, you'd want the player to be safer so that way their playing career could be longer and you could enjoy watching them play for more years than you would if they were just getting drilled on kickoffs every week. So
agreed.
It seems like a win-win to for the players and the fans because you get to watch them a little longer.
Well, I tell you what, this has been a conversation that has intrigued many of you, and we spent the whole hour talking about it. So you know what? We're going to have some great topics of discussion on tomorrow's Current Sports. We'll also have Taya Reimer on the show, who is a former, sorry, it's weird saying that now, former Michigan State women's basketball player who actually signed with the L.A. Sparks. Talked to Taya yesterday. She's out on the West Coast right now in California preparing and working out like 6 hours out of the day. She will be joining us live from the West Coast on tomorrow's Current Sports. We've also got my dear friend who I went to college with, Tony Towns, who's in the entertainment industry. I mean, this dude has done a lot. His latest work in the entertainment industry is actually working on the show Young Sheldon on ABC. I've never seen that show.
The Big Bang Theory spinoff?
Yeah, the Big Bang Theory spinoff. He worked on that, just finished production with that. He's worked on a lot of other projects. He's going to join us to talk about. He's an MSU alum from Flint Town. We're going to talk some sports as well as entertainment industry with him on Thursday. So the next 2 days, going to be great shows. And on tomorrow's Current Sports, I really want to get to this story concerning a young high school player, now former high school player, by the name of Darius Bazley, who has decided to take a different route when chasing his NBA dreams. And I tell you what, if he is successful, you may see a lot of players coming out of high school taking this route. This could cause a ripple effect and could be a game changer. I got sent his Players Tribune piece from my fraternity brother, Vincent, and it's really good. He makes a lot of good points. This is a bright young man. Again, if he's successful, we could have an interesting discussion when it comes to the world of college basketball in the coming years. So stick around, folks, as we proceed throughout the week. Going to be a great week of Current Sports coming at you. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Much thanks to all of our listeners out there. We'll see you same time, same place on Wednesday. Be easy, people.